Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were guides, nobody was above.
Welcome. Let's start that over. Welcome to hour two of the show. And this is something we started earlier in the week, just as a signifier that we get closer and closer to my favorite time of the year. So, Sean, hit the music. As I mentioned before we went to the break, we have odds, or at least percentages, on who's most likely to make the CFP, and this comes off the back of the CFP schedule coming out. We'll get into when those games begin and how you're going to, I guess, schedule your day months from now. But according to ESPN FPI, these are the teams most likely by percentage to make the CFP, and we all know it's now 12 instead of 4. Georgia, number one. Georgia's going to be the number one team in the country when those polls come out. Carson Beck is back. Kirby Smart coming off, not even making the playoff. You expect Georgia to be motivated. That's going to be a team that should run through the SEC. And even if they don't, you don't have. They're the team with the highest percentage, but you don't have to run, make a great run. They could lose two games and still make it. That's the outcome or the consequence of making it a 12-team playoff. Oregon follows them. I guess your love of Dylan Gabriel, if you actually do love Dylan Gabriel in this play, may have you ranking them at two. If you have a differing opinion, if you've seen him play at UCF at times or Oklahoma, you might think, is that a great quarterback? He's good enough in college to get that Oregon team, which is pretty loaded, to the CFP. And they don't have a really tough schedule. They do have Ohio State, but I believe that game's in Eugene. We know Michigan, who is going to be very different. I believe they're on the schedule, too. That game, I think, is in Ann Arbor. But number two. Texas is number three. Quinn Ewers, their starting quarterback, was Isaiah Bonner transfer from Alabama. Texas, beyond like the secondary, particularly corner, is ready to go. They did lose a couple stand-up defensive linemen. They need to be replaced, but they've recruited to a point where, Sean, you're at a point where you don't rebuild. You reload.
Whoa. I've always wanted to get back there.
You guys are back there.
It's reloading happening. Yes. There will not be two basically all-American level defensive tackles on this team, but hopefully more of the edges and some of the other tackles can step up and have a defense that's maybe less just a two-person show. And what a two-player show it was, but have a little bit more of a balanced front seven. That's basically what you're looking at there.
So Texas, certainly well thought of, and rightfully so, considering what they've done recruiting, what they did last year. Number four, Ohio State. Now that one, that's a lot, I guess, a lot to do with Will Howard. Do I believe in Will Howard? He was okay at Kansas State. And once again, this is about making the 12, not the 4. If it was the 4, Will Howard's not a... Will Howard's not leading any team to the playoff a four-team race.
It jumped out to me that they weren't in the top three. And I look at their schedule. I mean, they host Iowa, if that means anything to you. They go to Eugene, like we mentioned. They go to Penn State, and they get Michigan and Nebraska at home. They could mess around and lose three of those games.
Yeah.
Like, that's not crazy.
It is not crazy. The 4, 5, and 6 when it comes to quarterback, a real fellowship of mid. I know I'd use that for the Astros front office, but the Will Howard, Riley Leonard, Drew Allard triumvirate from 4, 5, and 6. Ugh. At least if they're going to make it, I don't want to see them play in a game against each other. That is Riley Leonard, fine player at Duke. Notre Dame is just Notre Dame. You know what? Notre Dame is like a turkey sandwich, Sean.
Oh yeah.
And how do I make that? Why do I say that? Because you know it's hearty, it's sturdy, you know what you're going to get. Hell, some years they have some spicy mustard. That could be a Kyle Hamilton. They'll have special players from time and time again. That's your spicy mustard. That's a garnish. But at the end of the day, it's still a dry, mostly flavorless bird. That's what they are.
They're just solid around across the board. There's just a whole bunch of solid players, but there's not that, like, you're whoa.
No one's ever, unless after a holiday, particularly Thanksgiving, no one's ever saying, give me a turkey sandwich as my first choice. It's usually a default option if there's nothing better. And that's what Notre Dame is. They're always going to be this.
Give me a spicy Italian.
Yeah. Sam Hartman, Riley Leonard, name a quarterback, and Sam Hartman with the luscious hair that Notre Dame fans went crazy over, and look how that worked out for you. It's still the same guy. It doesn't matter. One skill set may differ from the other, but at the end of the day, it's still an above-average quarterback that's more of a passenger, and the Notre Dame team, particularly at the skill position, isn't good enough to have a passenger. They need a star quarterback to finally break through. To break through for a title.
Oh, to win. Yes. Yes. To win a title.
Not to make the playoff.
They could run out you and I and probably make
You've got
playoff.
A Sam Hartman vibe.
Thank you. That's much better than the Cam Rising vibe.
Well, it's kind of the same vibe, to be honest with you.
Guys that are 28 but still in college.
And long hair.
They open the season going to College Station to play A&M. And then on November 9th, they play Florida State. And on November 30th, they go to California to play the Trojans, to play USC.
Yeah.
That's their entire schedule. I just skipped over a lot. Oh, they play Louisville early, too.
Louisville was the ACC, one of the ACC finalists. They don't have divisions
Stanford,
anymore.
Stanford, Georgia Tech, Navy, Army, Virginia, Purdue, NIU, Miami of Ohio. Like, they got a lot of wins.
Yeah, Riley Leonard is good enough to get them to the playoff. He's not good enough to win a title for them. And that's kind of what Notre Dame has done at quarterback. They need to find a better option if they're going to recruit at wide receiver the way they do.
They would be underdogs to the four teams ahead of them
if
they played in a playoff setting, and probably to a couple of teams.
I think Alabama, who's number 7, in a game in a head-to-head, I think they'd be an underdog there. You know, against Penn State, I'll go through the rest of the list quickly. Penn State, Alabama, Missouri, Tennessee, Oklahoma, Florida State, and then Michigan at 12. So Notre Dame, you know, against Missouri and Florida State, Michigan, I would make them the favorites without seeing these teams line up. But the rest, clear underdogs. And athletically speaking, Alabama has them too. Now, Alabama has a new coach. Jalen Milroe returns. So there may be a transition period there. And I mentioned Isaiah Bond, one of their good receivers now at Texas, so they've lost guys, but Alabama will be fine. Texas is where Alabama has always been, at least under Nick Saban, a reloading team.
Yes.
You don't have to worry about them being a good team. It may not be a vintage Alabama team, but they'll be fine. Last year's team wasn't vintage and they made the playoff. They found a way to beat Georgia in the SEC title game. But still, I think that top four is pretty clear. If I'm going to pick a team that might jump up, if we're using the old playoff format, I would probably look at Alabama just because of the quarterbacks. When I start looking at them, I would just vault them over the other four, because of the other three, Ohio State, Notre Dame, and Penn State, because Jalen Milroe, and I expect him to take another step. I think he's better than Aller, Howard, or Riley Leonard. But hey, it's a team game, as I've been told. And maybe those other teams, and particularly the schedule, leads this index to believe those teams have a better shot. But hey, it's 12. A lot of teams are going to get in, and Alabama certainly should be considered among the favorites to make that 12. Before we wrap it up, hey, Eric, I see you. We'll get to you on the other side. You have a Longhorn question, so we welcome that. We'll talk about the Longhorns when we come back. Some of the Cinderellas involved. All right, CBS Sports. Rutgers is never a Cinderella too. There was one at one point in the aughts in Greg Schiano's first tenure where they had a shot, but I'm not considering this version of Rutgers a real Cinderella.
Oh.
A lot of it has to do with who they're playing more than anything else. You look at the talent. Rutgers doesn't have a forward passing offense. That's a problem in college football. If you can't throw a forward pass, if we can rank you with Iowa as far as likely to compete if it turns into a shootout when it comes to throwing the football, that's a problem. So that one jumps out early to me. Iowa State's another. Matt Campbell's a good coach. And I know he's been looked at.
No, you just have to win the Big 12. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. Just win the Big 12 and you get in. But Rutgers doesn't have that. They're not winning the Big 10. They're not making it as an at-large.
The Rutgers one is ridiculous.
No, it's ridiculous.
They have an easy schedule, but it's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. So they use Iowa State, Auburn, and Rutgers. Auburn's not winning the SECs. Can they make it as a wild card or at-large?
If I was an Auburn fan, I'd be so upset that they called us a Cinderella.
Yeah, they certainly hold themselves to a higher standard.
What the hell?
Yeah.
No, Rutgers, that's a Cinderella. The quarterback play is just tough. It's too tough for me to. I need at least.
Cinderella needs to have a star quarterback in my eyes. Maybe the rest of the team is okay, but you believe in this quarterback that he could put them on their back.
Yeah, like, I know Tennessee was ranked in the, favorites to make the thing, but, having a Nico where it's, a highly touted guy.
Young quarterback.
Who hasn't actually shown it yet, but you think if he pops off, they could make the playoff. Like, that's what I need. I don't need, I forgot their quarterback's name. It was just some boring former Michigan State quarterback.
Kind of how that tracks. And maybe Cinderella has to do with, as you mentioned, being upset if you're Auburn. The stature of the program.
Yes.
Because Rutgers, Iowa State, them making a 12-team playoff would be a Cinderella story. Auburn's like, I know we're not great, but we've been in a couple title games the last 20 years. Yeah. How about you don't put us in the Cinderella category?
They made two BCS games.
Yeah, when it's more difficult.
5 years.
Yeah, knock it off. We don't qualify. Call us a sleeping giant, maybe. But not a Cinderella story. That is insulting to the Auburn people.
It's a little insulting.
A little disrespectful. Nah. You insult them a little bit. Eric, we'll get to you on the other side. You have a Longhorn question. Anyone else has a question about anything, 713-780-3776. We'll talk to you when we get back.
ESPN 97.5.
You're back inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios with Del Olalea. I mean, you're not actually in the studio, but if you watch ESPN Houston's YouTube channel, it's kind of like you are. No, not really? Okay.
That's Michael Carroll. He won't join us today because he joined us yesterday. If you needed things to watch for the summer, he provided those answers for you. TV and movies. Thanks to Michael Carroll for that. If you missed it, it's in the second hour of yesterday's show. Back half of that hour, just a lot of information about what you should be watching to get you through the summer. Eric wants to talk about the Longhorns. What's up, Eric?
Hey, guys. Number one sports show in the country. Yeah, what can the Texas Longhorns women's softball team do to get over that hump and beat Oklahoma? I think they look better in their uniforms than the Sooners did. And, Dale, are you excited about the new Venom movie? I'll hang up and listen.
Sean? What can your Longhorns do to overcome the four-time defending Oklahoma Sooners in softball?
Move the softball championship
out of Oklahoma.
Out of Oklahoma. Out of a one-hour drive.
Yeah,
from
It has been a home field advantage.
Maybe, to go on Eric's, I guess, point 1B. maybe get a different type of player. I would say.
A better player?
Yes, maybe less about the runway and more about the, how they pitch, I guess. I don't know.
Sure.
Mike White, coach of softball for the Texas Longhorns. Yes, I knew that off the
top
of my head.
Not the backup quarterback for the Dolphins.
Yes, Dell, I know you're impressed.
I am, that you, that's real and you got it right.
He got hired in 2018 when I was a student.
There it is.
And I was covering the
There
team.
It is.
And I, every couple of years, I'm like, still the coach? Good. Okay, don't have to learn a new name. Yeah, he's really changed this softball program with the Longhorns, so... I would say that this is, you know, there's still more to be done. But I do trust Mike White's vision with this program. Thank you.
For Sean's update on what's next for the Texas women's softball team.
You know,
doesn't have anything to do with what they look like.
A lot of great players through that program.
Can you petition to get that thing out of Oklahoma?
Yeah.
Get the College World Series, Women's World Series out of Oklahoma.
Can we just do it in Dallas, like the Cotton Bowl? Can we just play it at the Cotton Bowl? I don't know.
Sure.
I don't know.
Are there any other hotbeds for women's softball where no matter where you put it, people are going to show up?
Well, I was just thinking Dallas because it's halfway between Austin and
Norman. Well, we can't cater to both schools. It's not. Is it a guarantee?
It's better than catering to the one.
It's true, but
to the two best schools in softball.
Is it going to be a guarantee that they're always going to face each other?
Oh, Oklahoma might not make it.
Oh, well, they made the last four and won them, so I'm not sure. Run's got to come to an end, right? At some point, they got to turn into the Astros.
It was a great recruiting class.
Is there a Jim Crane of Oklahoma softball that we should know about?
It was a great recruiting class that won a national championship every single year.
Maybe the best recruiting class in any sport in history?
UConn women are like, what?
Hey, you forgot about us. It's true. They did the thing too. But and I'm sure the UCLA basketball teams under John Wooden are like, hey, we didn't even play as freshmen, and we're still knocking these things out.
Yeah, Kareem's about to call in, being like, hey, forgot about us.
He's still alive, right?
Yes.
Okay. Could have got awkward if Kareem wasn't alive anymore. So Eric, we're not going to speak on what they look like. That's your thing. They just went against a juggernaut. Oklahoma has been that school in that sport for years, and four in a row is a remarkable accomplishment in any sport, particularly when you're playing against really good teams like Texas. They'll get there at some point, right? Mike White will get it done.
I believe it. I know this is a controversial opinion, but I trust Mike White. I know a lot of the listeners are like, what? Really?
The Buffalo. He's Marv Levy of college softball.
Okay. Don't put that on him. Listen, he helped change the Oregon Ducks program before he came to Austin.
Is that when you were writing up your piece on Mike White? That's what you wrote, and you remember that? That's why you still remember it?
Yes. Also, the first year he basically did a Lincoln Riley where he brought in like five transfers from Oregon, and Texas was immediately better.
Look at that. Yeah, Oregon was a school that was. I don't know if they still are, but
I don't know.
At least when they're Mike White, they were.
Yeah, So that's we are almost tapping out of my softball.
All right. Texas softball knowledge. What else did he ask about?
I forgot what the.
Venom. I didn't watch the second Venom movie. I watched the first one. I didn't watch Let There Be Carnage.
There was a lot of carnage.
I would bet. I did see the trailer when I watched Furiosa earlier this week. I did see the trailer for the third Venom movie.
Yeah.
And
One Last Dance or whatever it's called.
What is it called?
I think it's called The Last Dance.
And there is a dancing scene in the trailer where Venom, or Eddie Brock as Venom, is dancing with, I forgot the name of the woman who works in the convenience store or the bodega. I forgot what her name was. But he dances with her. They do a little waltz in it. And, you know, there's other Venom things like murdering people and the symbiote coming after him.
Oh, there's another part that you're not mentioning, part of the trailer.
What am I missing?
The Venom symbiote takes over a horse.
Yeah, Eddie Brock goes.
That was crazy.
It was crazy. How much?
How'd they show that in the trailer? Save something. Yeah,
save it.
Imagine what they have in the rest of the movie.
Yeah, the question was how much of that horse can you take over without killing it? And now it's just a full-on horse as a symbiote, and I think Eddie winds up riding it, or Tom Hardy, the actual actor, but Eddie Brock, the character. So, yeah, you didn't think if you didn't think the nerdism went that deep, thanks to Sean, with softball and watching the first two Venom movies, we got there.
Guarantee you there is not another sports radio show in the city of Houston
that could take that call
answer that could bring up Mike White and how he rebuilt Texas softball and also talk about the Venom Horse. No one else. That's a challenge to every other show in the city.
Is there another producer who spent the same exact time at Texas that you did in the city? Probably not. So that means it's never going to happen.
Well, I don't know. Or they could do their homework. That'd be nice. That'd be a nice change.
Yeah, it was a big game yesterday. Be ready for it. We're ready for everything. Maybe except for bowling. I don't have much on that. There are limits to how much we can gather in one night. But Eric, thanks for the call. You always provide something for us. And in this case, you hit right into Sean's wheelhouse. You might have thought you got us. You might have thought you had us in the first half, but you forgot about Sean, the intrepid producer that is Sean Mapes. Anyone else want to challenge us on stuff we may or may not know about? Now's the time. We got about 30 minutes to go in the show. Lazy J, you want to talk about soccer? Maybe you want to talk about Mexico getting their ass kicked by Uruguay this week? Oof. Once again, because I'm about to rip El Tree, it doesn't mean I don't like the Mexican people, because that has been a thing on this station where people like, one lady called me a racist son of a bitch because of all things, I didn't like El Tree being a U.S. soccer fan. That's how it goes. You root for the U.S., you don't like El Tri. Doesn't speak to what you think of Mexican people as a whole. Lazy J, your call will probably upset me and distract me, so we'll get to you when we come back. He is next up. You can be next up too, 713-780-3776. We'll talk to Lazy J when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.
The Del Olalea Show continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's your host, Del Olalea.
Welcome back. A couple more segments to go here before we wrap it up for the week. We start this segment with Lazy J. What's up?
Hey, Dale, what's going on, brother? Yeah, LaRosa told me to call in, man. My birthday's tomorrow, man. The big 3-9, bro. He told me he's going to give me some free tickets for the Mexico game tomorrow. Conversation. So,
is that what you called in for?
I don't know. You want me to? No. That was one of the reasons. But, you know, my birthday's tomorrow. You know, big 3-9.
So, happy birthday.
You know, you got.
But okay, I don't have tickets for you.
Happy birthday to you. I know your birthday was this week, too.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
Damn.
We didn't get tickets for the game. Yeah, Raheel was the only
true friend, I guess, at the station. He used to hook me up all the time.
So you think friendship is based on getting free stuff?
Hey, but wait, I hooked him up with some free shoes before I asked him.
I'm not saying he didn't.
You need some shoes? I got the plug. You know, what size you wear?
Yeah, but, okay, now.
You can fall off the truck real quick.
Now we got the honesty. You gave him something for free, and he got you something. Okay, we can have that conversation at a different point. But did you have a different topic that you wanted to get to?
Yeah, I wanted to know before I spend my money. Do you think Valencia is going to play tomorrow? Before I buy the tickets and drive up there, El Tri, man, they're just, I don't know, man. They keep playing all these old ass players, man. They're not trying to get younger. They try to be like USA and be USA / France 2.0. And go get Colombian players like Quiñones, and he's not doing nothing. And I'm so tired of Memo. Somebody needs to kidnap him and cut all his hair off.
Well, okay.
And just, you know.
I'm glad it ended with hair. Okay. When you say.
Yeah, so it's just like, man, I just what's your thoughts on that, man? You think I should buy the tickets and drive up there? I know they're probably going to lose, but I just wanted to know if Vinny was going to play it. I know he's probably still drunk and hungover from last weekend. So.
Yeah, he was.
And one other quick thing. You did question Real last couple of weeks.
No,
when I
didn't.
Was calling in.
That's
you
not
were
true.
Like, oh, I don't think they're going to beat City. I don't think they're going to beat Bayern.
No,
you called them like
that's not what I said.
Maybe they're the Astros or whatever in the playoffs. Maybe they might win.
That's a lie. That's not what I said. I said. Hold on. First of all, Vinny was in Miami hanging out with the Dolphins. I'm not sure they're going to run him out there for an amistoso. I wouldn't expect it, to be honest with you. He wasn't with the team, and if he was, he got enough free time to hang out with the Dolphins during training camp. So I wouldn't expect it. As far as the buy, as far as the Real thing, I said I would hold judgment until I saw the opponent. But I said they're Real; they'll probably win it because that's what they are. Don't try to change what I said. I never said they would lose. I just said let me see who they're going to play.
Iffy.
I'm allowed to. Well, I can't make a prediction before I see who they're going to play. Am I allowed to at least see who they're going to play?
No, but you knew. You said it was City, and then I called in to buy Bayern, and then you were like, oh, it's not even going to be there. It's going to be two Germany teams
that's
in the final.
That's not what I said. I said if there were two German teams in the final, I would say Dortmund was going to win. I said if Madrid made it, I'd have to wait before I made a prediction. See, don't try to – I remember things. Don't try to change things on me. Lazy Day, I appreciate it. Don't expect Vinny.
Yes, sir.
He might be in the building.
All right.
Don't expect him to play.
Got you. Love the show, Dale.
Appreciate you, man.
Have a good weekend.
You too, man. Happy birthday. Thanks to Lazy J for calling in. A frequent listener, and he's about that nonsense all the time. That's what he's about. And coming after me for whatever reason.
Free shoes.
He wanted me to help come up with tickets that I didn't know we had to give. Sorry.
Very presumptuous.
Yeah. Maybe Glenn Davis was giving away tickets and he thinks that's for the entire station. Mm. Wasn't told about tickets. Sorry. We might at some point. Copa America is around the corner. There are going to be matches in Houston, so they may become available. We just haven't been told about them.
They might fall off the truck, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, like the shoes you're offering me. Just fall
size
off
11s.
The truck. Oh, Sean is.
Oh, what?
Sean is throwing his hat in the ring for shoes. 10.5 for me, depending on the shoe. Gary wants to talk some college football. What's up, Gary?
Hey, what's up, Dale? Hey, I kind of follow you from show to show. I know you're a big college football guy. And I don't think I ever got your take. What are your thoughts on the playoffs? I hate the expanded 12 playoffs because college football is my favorite sport. I'm a UT guy. And like right now, I would be like stressing out over the OU game. Then now it's like, well, I mean, we can lose to OU, we can lose to Georgia. Probably lose another game and still make the playoffs. So I absolutely hate it. I like college football being a different thing than the NFL, but I just wanted to get your thoughts on it.
Appreciate it, Gary. Thanks for listening, no matter where I am. I am a wait and see on the playoff. Initially, I was all in, but what you have brought up does make me hesitate. The ability, not just to lose a game, but it to take away some of your anticipation for the game because it's almost as if, particularly with you guys being in the SEC now, that, hey, we could drop this. The reputation and the schedule's tough enough. As long as we get to 9, we got a real shot. Now you're at a disadvantage because you don't get a bye. You don't get to have a home game. So those things are important. You want to be as good as you can because going through a schedule in the SEC and then playing a road game and then playing a team who's rested, and then how many games do you have to win to win a national title? That's part of the math when you take into account the regular season. So you do get punished if you lose because your ranking will be worse. But, yeah, I think the Oklahoma thing is a little different. It is Oklahoma. Once the game, you might be nervous about playing Oklahoma, but once the game begins, all that hate's going to build up and you want to beat them. I think that's going to play a part more than anything else.
Yeah, yeah. It's less about the Oklahoma game. It's honestly more about like the Georgia and Michigan
sure.
games where you're just like, I don't know. Like, I want to see them win. I want to see, or at the very least, I want to see how they compete, especially with a team like Georgia where you expect that to be kind of the class of college football to where it's like, all right, let's see how they measure up and if they play down the road, like what they got, but or against, you know, a team of that caliber. But yeah, there is the less of the, like, if you, like last year, you lose one game and it's like, okay, you have to be perfect for the rest of the season.
Yeah,
there is something to that to where it really gets the blood pumping to play Iowa State at noon. You know, it's a way to get every game on your edge, on the edge of your seat, which I guess there'll still be some of that, but there'll be less of that.
Yeah, the tension.
It'll take more games to get there.
Going into, let's say you are a 2-loss team, but still highly regarded, and then you play A&M. You want to beat them because you hate them, but you know, in all likelihood now, things could pop up that get in your way that if you're a 3-loss Texas team and your losses are to good football teams and A&M rises up and beats you, it's going to suck because you know A&M people, and it sucks to lose, but you realize you got a real shot to still make the playoff. But I, like I said, he mentioned the NFL. NFL, you lose in the final week, it may determine where you play. It may take you out of the division title. And it would be somewhat similar. You want to play a home game if you can get one. If you don't have a bye, you want a bye if you can get one. So if you are a true national title contender, like Texas is expected to be, losing games is going to hurt you quite a bit if you think a national title is in the realm of possibility. If you are a team at the bottom that is only hoping to get in, eh, whatever. You lose a couple, we're still in the playoff. Let's see what we got. So we'll see if losing games and hurting your chances and playing a tougher schedule in the playoff is something that people will start to take into account when they go through the regular season. I think that's yet to be seen. But, yeah, on its surface, seeing a three-loss team have a shot to win a national title kind of takes some of the punch. But the games haven't been played yet. The playoff games haven't been played. They may be great, and then we can have a different conversation after we see it for the first time.
Yeah, and another part of it is the trying to win the conference, because like you said, to get that bye, you have to win the conference. So that is another part of it, is you will have to be more locked in on the conference standings, because normally the conference standings is to get into most years, most of the good conferences, you kind of, non-ACC Coastal, you just have to. If you lose one game, it turns into, well, you better hope that's not the tiebreaker. You better hope that they lose another one, or you know, that you go perfect the rest of the way. So there is going to be more of that, where I think how the SEC is doing it is that it's just the two best conference records. And so there will be head-to-head tiebreakers there. There, you know, to go with the Texas example, like they play Georgia, who will likely be in the mix for that spot, but they're not going to play Ole Miss. They're not going to play Alabama. They're not going to play Missouri, or Tennessee, who are probably the next four favorites to win the conference. So it gets a little, or LSU, it gets a little tricky there, where you need to win games against Georgia, because that is likely the only team that you're going to have a head-to-head matchup against if it gets to a tiebreaker to make the title game.
And I think a late season loss, which changes you from maybe not just hosting a game but having a bye, to you going on the road into a place, particularly if you're a Southern school, and winding up playing a game against, let's say Oregon. You go to Oregon, you go to the Pacific Northwest in December or January, it'll be December, in December, cold, rainy, and you were expected to host the game in 65 degree weather. It could change the way you feel about a late season loss. We just have to see the results.
Yeah, that is an interesting part, is that not only have we not seen like the environment as far as the crowd when a team is hosting a playoff game in December, we also haven't seen the environment as far as literally what is the weather like at this point of the year, because you just, for all of college football history, that the season either ends around Thanksgiving or you play a game in either a dome or in Texas, California, or Florida.
Sure.
that's just how it goes. So to play in not a dome and you have to go to Ann Arbor, or you have to go to Eugene.
South Bend. I was making fun of Notre Dame for being a turkey sandwich, but that doesn't mean they're not going to be in the playoff.
Yeah.
And would you rather beat A&M and host the game against whoever, or travel to South Bend in December?
Yeah.
So those are the things you have.
Sandwich, that cold turkey sandwich?
Huh. Even colder.
Get out of here.
You're not afraid. We'll eat that thing up. So we'll see. We'll see.
It's cold for Riley Leonard.
True. It's true. We'll see how it plays out. Yeah, Gary, I have your concerns, but I'll wait to be disappointed before I get disappointed. It'll be fine, everyone, until it isn't, and then we can complain, particularly when they go to 14 like 2 years later, because that's on the docket too, to expand it to 14. We are one segment away from closing out the week. We will get into more Keith Law, because he spoke about a guy we found a way not to talk about all show long. But Keith Law, who joined the Killer Bees yesterday, has some thoughts on the hottest topic in Astros baseball this year. Why the hell is Jose Abreu still playing? Keith Law spoke about that. We'll get into some other things before we wrap it up. One more segment to go. If you want to call in, though, 713-780-3776. We'll talk to you when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.
The Del Olalea Show continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's your host, Del Olalea.
The Astros are back in action in Anaheim playing the Angels. Kromber will be on the mound tonight to try to get back on track after losing the final game of the series against the Cardinals. Jose Abreu was in that lineup. Didn't go well, as it generally does when he's out there. Doesn't go well. So, he's been a point of contention throughout the year. Why is he out there? Why does he have less hits than we have breaks in a three-hour show? I just made that observation, and until he gets the next hit, I can still make it. I may not be able to make it on Monday, but I've been able to make it for the last couple of days.
You got one last one.
Yeah. Well, you never know. There's a chance he goes hitless this weekend.
No, but you guaranteed yourself.
I guaranteed one last joke
about
that. Now
we're talking about it.
So. Now, I'll never know if this will be the last one.
I wish I could just set, like, an alert on, like, an app for, does he get a hit? Like, just send me an alert, a buzz that Jose Abreu has gotten a hit. Hey, you can do it for when a run scores or when a lead changes. Just give me Abreu hit watch.
You're not going to get a lot of notifications, as this season has proven. And
I would only have like
11. Yeah. Yeah, 11. I don't know if they'd update you on his time in Sugarland or when he was league he was in Florida.
I don't think he got any hits. Maybe he got a single when he was in
Sugarland. And he got a couple hits down in the, what do they call it again?
Complex.
The Complex League. Is that what it was called?
Just down in Florida. That's how a lot of people talked about it. Just down in West Palm Beach.
They sent them away. He got a couple hits down there. So it's not just a local story. I'm not sure a lot of people are actually thinking about Jose Abreu, but a national reporter, thanks to the question that was prompted or used on the Killer Bees, offered his opinion about Jose Abreu and why he's still on this Astros roster.
Well, he's a release. He should be released. I mean, that is. There's no purpose to keeping him on the roster at this point. You gave him the first year. Okay, maybe it's a down year. I didn't think so. I thought we had plenty of reason to think it was real. But I also understand them saying three-year contract before he's given to the second year, see if an off-season of work changes anything. It hasn't. At this point, you have to add – the money's gone, right? He's paid no matter what. The guaranteed contract, the money is not a factor in the decision. You have to answer two questions. Is this team better off with Jose Abreu playing? Like, as an everyday player? No, they are clearly not. And the second question is this team better off with Jose Abreu on the roster? I think that's a little more subjective, but the answer is probably no. At this point, they are simply better off if he's not there.
That was the Astros' biggest hater, Keith Law, if I go by Astros' Twitter. He got off how right he was about the Astros' front office. We played that stuff earlier. You can hear the entirety of that interview on the Killer Bees podcast. You can find it. He was there talking a lot of ship, as we like to say on the John and Lance show, mostly because we can't talk like normal people and say the actual word. Radio has rules.
But so y'all get close. Every time I'm like, are they going to do it? did he just say it?
We try to avoid it at all costs, mostly because it just involves me hitting a dump button. And sometimes, to be honest, I'm tuned out on that show. So if I'm not paying attention, they say the word, we got problems. If there's a snitch out there. That's really the biggest thing about it. If no one cares, you can say whatever you want. There's always going to be someone. You always got to be on the lookout for someone taking issue with it and reporting. My advice to you guys, don't be a snitch about anything, really.
Whoa.
There's a difference between being a witness and a snitch.
Okay.
If you weren't involved in something and see it, I don't have any problem with you going to law enforcement and saying, that person did it. But if you were involved, you're involved. Take that bid. Trust me, I've watched a lot of prison movies lately.
Yeah, I can tell. I can tell you have a lot of thoughts.
That's just part of the deal. When you have nothing
to
do.
Call some shots.
No, I don't want to be that. There's a lot of violence in that, in being a shot caller, particularly when you're rising up the ranks. But hey, Keith Law had his thoughts.
Keith Law called a shot.
Yeah,
a long time
and
ago.
Now he's ready to
talk that talk.
Yeah, and he did plenty of it yesterday. And as I said, we played some sound earlier. So we hope Keith Law has less to talk about with the Astros as far as, you know, patting himself on the back. And that would start with winning the series against the Angels, something you could not do the last time you faced them. What's the number right now? 7.5 back? I'm not saying it starts now, but as this show will consistently tell you, get to 500. We'll have conversations about what could come the rest of the way. As I said, this is our last segment of the week. Sean, it's an unofficial thing. At some point, we'll probably do it because I will, on occasion, just because things get in the way. A person will call in, or I'll forget because I'll see a new story. Sean, at some point, is going to compile. Yes, I'm giving him extra work, letting
Great.
You know
Love
right
that.
Now. Compile things I have mentioned but not gotten to. It might be a segment we do during the middle of the week just to say, hey, dummy, you're making promises your ass can't cash. Mm-hmm. So is there anything, well, even you wanted to get to, or something I mentioned that we thought we were going to get to that we haven't? Can you think of anything before we wrap it up?
You haven't mentioned it, but it is on the rundown today, and I think it's fitting that we wait until the last 2 minutes of the show to bring it up.
Sure.
ESPN's halftime show for the NBA Finals.
Oof. It got crushed.
I'm familiar with their game. It was coming.
Yeah, it was simply a set piece for commercials. We got to get our commercials in. Our sponsors are paying us a lot. We got to get them in. And it was just, hey, 30 seconds of analysis here. Hey, Josh Hart, you want to be on the set? We'll give you 30 seconds.
So it totaled 1 minute and 20 seconds.
Of actual content?
Of actual content of someone speaking. And that included, yes, why would you add someone to the desk for the halftime show if you only have a minute 20 halftime show? And yeah, Josh Hart, they didn't even show him. It was like something about Josh Hart on how he would defend the Celtics. And again, they come back from commercial break. They're just showing a slow motion highlight. Josh Hart is just giving analysis for 15 seconds. And then they go back to commercial. They don't even show him. It's crazy.
And it was – Sean took notice. Others did as well. And it just speaks to the difference between the best NBA show in the country – well, in the world, to be fair – and what ESPN provides. TNT's Inside the NBA is why it's beloved. Yeah, the guys joke. It's not all about serious basketball. There's certainly podcasts and other shows for that. But in the midst of a game going on, you go to halftime and you're looking forward to what those guys have to say. You barely even know who's on the NBA, on the ESPN one. Yeah, great, Michael Wilbon's on. I'm not looking to Michael Wilbon for basketball talk. It's not something – I know he's a figure there. He's been around forever. Mm-hmm. But is anyone thinking, I really want to hear from Michael Wilbon and what he has to say about this? No one.
No. I mean, in general, if I want to hear from Michael Wilbon, I'll wait until 4 o'clock.
Sure.
when there's a timer.
You know, when there's – okay. I thought you were saying when he can actually – get into things, but you're saying, no, there's a limit to what he can say about stuff.
And I know Tony Kornheiser will call him out.
Sure.
The halftime show, every year I know what it is, because it's been a few years of this, I know what it is, and every time I'm just, like, blown away. Like, every game of the series, I'm blown away that they're actually doing this. Like, this is how they've chosen to go about business, is to sell every ad possible and to not have an actual halftime show. And then when, especially during like the conference finals, when you're every night flipping between TNT one night and ESPN the next,
how much difference there is, and you can tell, and it just smacks you in the face.
It also makes the break, I mean, this isn't breaking news, but it makes the break seem shorter because you have the TNT guys actually talking about things instead of just commercial after commercial with, you know, Deadpool and Wolverine, and I did enjoy the Bad Boys one, but you just have commercial after commercial as opposed to here's Kenny running up to the monitor.
Yeah, it is. They've been lapped over and over again by TNT, and that's why the news I talked about yesterday is maybe good news. Maybe TNT is going to stay in the game when it comes to
they got one more in them.
NBA beyond next year as well. NBA coverage, maybe they've got a couple more in them.
We got one more game a week in us.
we'll see about that. I'm done. Gallant and George are up next. Is George back? He's on vacation, right?
No, it'll be Paul and I with Austin.
All right, awesome. I'll talk to you on Monday.
ESPN 97.5.
Every dating app swipe is another loss. Gym bros, fake CEOs, straight up losers. So now the only app I open is Moto Casino, because at least there I'm surrounded by winners, real winners, thousands of them. While everyone else is in the single swamp, I'm at home relaxing while stacking bonuses, hitting wins, and playing all my favorite Vegas style games. Moto Casino, the only app worth your time.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Our yoga instructor challenged us to find inner peace. I found it faster than anyone. After 4 seconds, I stood up and screamed,
"I found Nirvana! I win!"
They asked me to leave. I guess they don't respect winning. Bet365 does, though. New customers get $365 in bonus bets just for betting $10. Namaste, losers. Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only. Recently, our company softball team lost the big game by one run. Then Dale tried to console us with the quote, "Winning isn't everything." Dale's a loser. I play to win, like early payout from Bet365. If my team goes up big, I get paid out instantly, even if they blow the lead later.
Sound familiar, Dale?
Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.